And we're live.
Hello, radio people.
Hey there, all you folks in TV land.
You.
I'm inside your computer.
In your computer, virus and up.
That's right. Weird is in your computer watching you masturbate. In your base, killing your dudes.
So how was everybody's week?
Shitty.
Really? Was it shitty?
Mine's been
shitty.
Why shitty?
Okay.
It was shitty.
Why?
It's been a shitty week.
Jay.
In fact,
I'll give you a hug if I could.
Jay, show us on the doll where they touched you.
I'll go for the next best thing, and that's vodka.
Oh, yeah.
We'll have a group hug.
Where's my vodka? There it is. There you are.
The vodka will give you a hug. A nice warm hug.
Yes.
With
vodka
that,
loves you, Jay.
I'm an absolute kind of guy.
Absolutely.
Why? Because you can buy a gigantic jug of it for like $20. Okay, maybe not anymore, but back when I bought it, it was like that.
I don't know.
Cool.
So, Weird, how was your week?
My week was good.
Yay! Oh,
nothing
good.
Special, just a good enough week.
Yeah. And Alan, anything with you?
I got rained on, like, every day.
Yeah, we got rained. That stinks.
Well, you know what? That kind of makes up for the awesome weather you have the rest of the year.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Houston doesn't have awesome weather. You can get stuck in the air there.
What? That's true. He doesn't get snow, though. So any place with no snow ever,
yes,
to me, is awesome weather all the time.
Yes,
I don't know. I'm not really accustomed to chewing my air before I inhale.
The 70 degrees in December at times is pretty nice.
Oh, what a hardship.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that 115 in August that, you know.
Actually, where I am, it's not that warm.
No, it's only 95 with 157% humidity.
Yes.
Every time you sneeze, there's a small thunderstorm in front of you. Oh, shit. Damn it.
You get used to the windows covered in condensation.
Your garage has its own weather system.
Yeah.
It's raining in the garage again.
It's sunny outside, but it's raining in the garage.
You know, in Florida, they made a big deal when they built the vehicle assembly building for the Apollo 5 project. They made a big deal about how it had its own weather inside and clouds would form and stuff like that. And what nobody bothered to say was every building was like that, you know, south of a certain line. So
That Manson-Dixon line.
Yeah, you get the humidity and the heat, and you're going to have clouds. It doesn't matter where it is.
Did you say Manson-Dixon line, Jay? someone's going to shove a fucking hush puppy up your ass.
Or as we call it, the Waffle House line.
The Waffle House line.
No, yeah. There's Waffle House.
We have Waffle House up here.
Hey.
I'm going to be forced to eat Scrapple.
All right, I'll call it the Bluebell line because y'all ain't got Bluebell up there. I know.
Yeah, do you guys have Piggly Wiggly?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ah, damn it.
Kroger.
Yeah, but you guys don't have the Moolahs.
I want everybody to know that Ronan is doing his nightly show.
Oh. Playing with himself.
Thank you, Ronan, for the demonstration.
All right.
I don't even know what this is about. Every night it's with the penis. I don't know. Ronan?
Do you know why he does that, Brita?
I don't. Because he can. I know.
I'll set up the straight lines for you, Alan. Don't worry.
All right. Well, you know what time it is. Oh, shit. That was the wrong one.
Oh, no. Play that one.
Thursday, July 12th, 2012. Squirrel Report. Woohoo.
Always moose and squirrel.
Yeah. Yay.
This is Squirrel Report.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is.
That was scary.
Miguel just posted, this is CNN, exactly at the same time. That's pretty freaky.
You share a brain with Miguel. That is terrifying.
That is.
By the way,
horrifying.
James Earl Jones says we're all racist. because he grew up hating white people, so therefore all white people must hate him. Except for I love James Earl Jones. He's got the great deep voice, and he was Jack Ryan's boss. He's
Darth Vader, for crying out loud.
Yeah. The actual Darth Vader got wicked pissed about it.
Yeah. Well, it was like he was like the 6'9" rugby player or something, wasn't he?
Yep. And he had there's videos online of the original audio track where he's not properly looped or anything, but you can hear what Darth Vader was in his mind was going to sound like. But George Lucas has always been a dick.
It sounded more like,
we can use your voice. Do all your lines and, you know, do your best job. And I mean, can you imagine how much worse it is? He's in that fucking crazy ass suit. And I'm sure it took him ages to get into the thing, and it's hot and shitty inside. And meanwhile, he's given them their best vocal performances whatsoever instead of just kind of banging out the lines because he knows that they're going to have James Earl Jones do it in post.
He lost out to the This Is CNN dude. I mean, come on. I mean, he was the guy was Conan's spiritual advisor, for crying out loud.
Oh, that fucking wig.
Okay, now that esoteric moment is over, let's get back. Oh goodness.
All right then.
We have topics for this evening.
Yes, we do.
We do.
They're kind of big topics. We've had like a two big kind of gun stories this week in the news. The hug of death.
The magic holster.
The hug
magic
of death.
Holster.
I just put a link in the chat.
Yeah, I'm still waiting. Kind of, you know what? I really feel that we're not going to ever know the truth about this one.
No,
I mean, number one, it's Detroit. Number two, it was a cop. So
they determined on day one that he never touched the gun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
before there was any evidence whatsoever presented, they're like, oh, he never touched the gun.
He said he never touched the gun, so he must have never touched the gun. Oh, right.
Exactly. He's the only one.
To give listeners who don't know what the hell we're talking about, a little backstory. A young woman got shot at a party at a cop's house.
12:30 in the morning.
Right. Yeah, well, you know. And it was kind of just like a, supposed to be like a cookout kind of
fish fry.
It was a fish fry. That's right. Yeah. And they were having their kind of friendly party. And this girl.
Yeah, because everybody fries fish at midnight.
Right.
Hey,
I've done it.
I don't know. I'm assuming
we don't want to know what you've done to fish at midnight.
I'm assuming this is post fish and well into the, you know, the cocktail hour.
Malt liquor portion of the evening.
You right. think there was liquor involved?
I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I'm guessing. Yeah. But this party happened at a policeman's house. And the young woman, she was like 25. The young woman who got shot, she did not know him. She had just met him at this party. And according to the story, she went up and she hugged him. And the gun went off. Now, okay, the bullet's trajectory, the sticking point for me is the bullet's trajectory. Apparently, it went up through her lung and out her back.
From a holster that was carried inside the waistband. I have never found an inside the waistband holster that pointed the muzzle anywhere other than straight down.
Yeah, I don't buy
it. Not only straight down, but if she bumped it somehow,
right,
the muzzle would move to the back, correct?
First of all, it was a Smith & Wesson M&P, which, right, unless the guy had a finely tuned competition trigger in it,
right,
requires an effort to pull.
Right.
At the very least. Now, he's a cop, and I'm guessing it's his duty gun, so which means, A, it has no work done to it.
Right.
And
it's
B,
the stock trigger.
It's got however many years he's been a cop carrying that gun worth of lint built up in it. Because you don't blow it out, you know, 50 rounds a year.
Right.
bumped it and went off? No.
Nope.
I will state as a fact that's not what happened.
Right. But if you think about a gun in its holster on your belt, if somebody is hugging you from the front and bumps the gun, the muzzle moves to the back, usually. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yep.
So it would be pointing backwards. So did she hug him from the back? Is she a midget?
That's what they were saying. She was dancing behind him and gave him a hug on her knees.
On her knees. So she is not a midget. Okay.
I don't think she was dancing. I don't think she was behind him. And I believe the officer didn't touch his gun. I think the officer's wife touched his gun.
That has always been my theory.
Ooh.
Yes.
She walked in on...
Yeah.
The young lady in question, lip-locking Bobo, got pissed off and went, pow! And because it's the thin blue line, they went, it accidentally went off. Nothing to see here. That was a pigeon.
Yeah. We're all like armchair detectives, though, so let's make that disclaimer.
Still, I mean,
with that one. I like that explanation.
Yeah,
in the first 3 or 4 days, the story changed like 5 times on how she was shot, why she was shot, what was going on, what was happening, and all that. The mom of this poor woman's been just dragged through the mud. And that. I mean, it's one of those, if the story had stayed the same, I'd be more willing to look at it. When the story starts shifting around, and like you said, there's all this talk of it's illegal for cops to be, the cops are allowed to carry their duty gun while off duty, but they are not allowed to do it if they're drinking. And without any, you know, any breathalyzer toxicology reports, he was declared stone cold sober.
Right.
And
because I read something, his speech was not slurred and his eyes were not red or, you know, something. Yeah, that sounds like a breathalyzer to me.
Yeah.
And then on top, you know, at a fish fry, you know, after midnight. And at his house. So I'm sorry to say, but I had a dinner party at my house last weekend. And I got right shitty because guess what? I didn't have to drive home.
Exactly. I don't have to drive.
If I passed out on the lawn, it'd be passing out in my lawn. Yeah, bitches.
That's right. When you puke in the bushes, they're your bushes.
Yeah. Well, you know, not having to drive home, that's always nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, just the fact that like all these things were declared, you know, sight unseen. You know, it was declared that he hadn't touched his gun. It was declared that it was an accident. It was declared all of this without any sort of scrutiny. I mean, the body was still warm, and they were saying, oh, it was an accident.
Well, there's a great quote. Rick Ector is quoted in an article I put in chat and saying that a properly holstered M&P is impossible to fire.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, so, he's been getting – I've been pleased to see Rick get a lot of airtime over this because he is one dude we need – We need to get him more. The more exposure, the better, because he's doing great things.
In Detroit, no less.
In Detroit, exactly. One of the freaking shittiest places around that's not Massachusetts.
or Cleveland.
Legally Armed in Detroit. That's his website, folks. Memorize it.
Yeah, and to be fair, I don't know if you've got to remember this, Jay. We were shooting at my club I don't know, it was probably last year, and it got hot in there, so I took off my cover shirt, and I'm wearing a 1911 and a shoulder holster, so the gun does point backwards.
Right,
and
right.
Jay's standing behind me watching me shoot, and suddenly he realizes he's looking down the muzzle, and he can see the cavity of my hollow point sitting in the barrel. And Jay's like, man, that makes me really nervous. And I'm like, yeah, but it's in a holster. It can't go off. It's not going to happen. I mean, further, you know, my shoulder holster, the retention strap goes between the firing pin and the hammer. So it's never going to happen. But, you know, furthermore, just a fully enclosed trigger and a fitted holster, it ain't going to go off.
Even if there was a young lady on her knees in front of you.
Well, not that gun.
the other one might go off.
There might have been a negligent discharge.
Oh, Lord. Anyway, so if you'd like to call the Squirrel Report and talk about the hug of death.
Yes.
Shot her in the chest.
Please call.
The face.
Our number is 214-530-0036. Alan will be happy to take your call.
I will be ecstatic.
Yes, ecstatic.
Yes, you heard Brita call in.
Yeah. We want to talk to you.
Such a good job this last week.
Yeah, we have all kinds of people listening. We have
16 online.
Yeah, some of y'all ought to call in. Don't be shy.
You know, I think there is a big kind of misconception among, I mean, we all kind of speak as, you know, experienced gun owners. We're like, oh yeah, you know, unless you're pulling the trigger, it's not going to go off. But I think there's a big kind of feeling that, oh no, the gun just went off. You know, people who don't really know guns.
Well, it's because the press tells them.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but you know, you have people ask you about that sort of thing, and you have to explain, no, guns really don't work that way.
Well, that's I told a buddy of mine who's not a serious gunny, and it was just a fun game, and he got really into it. I was like, read any sort of story that involves a shooting where they actually talk about the events of the shooting. Watch. Mm-hmm. Reporters, they've gotten better about this. You see a lot less of it than you do. It used to be 100% of the time, you know, back 10 years ago and earlier, is every time a gun discharging is discussed, it's always discussed in the active voice for the sake of the gun. The gun went off. The gun went off. Fired.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, they still do that with SUVs.
SUV killed by SUV. People. Yeah.
Yep. You know, like, you know, that my wife's Pilot backed itself out of the garage and just started mowing people down at the mall for no reason.
Watch out those SUVs.
Well, it's much easier to write a story like that than to actually try to explain the mistakes human beings made.
Well, especially when they don't understand.
Especially when they don't know what happened exactly. So it's easier just to blame the item.
To like, blame the Glock service revolver.
Yeah.
The Glock revolver.
The infamous.
It's 9 caliber.
Yeah, well,
the 38 millimeter Glock service revolver.
Yes. Hey, we've got a call.
I love those stories.
We have a call. All right, we've harangued somebody into calling.
Yes. Area code 903. You're on the air.
Hello, and enjoying this talk about the hug of death.
All right.
Hug of death.
Jason,
who is this?
Jason Kerr.
Oh, hi, Jason. How are you?
How could you not recognize that accent? This
week. You didn't... By the way, where I'm from, we call it trajectory.
Trajectory. I can't say the certain words. Leave me alone. Leave me alone.
It's easy. It's a trajectory.
Hey, Jason.
Okay, now say new.
Yeah.
No. Jason, what do you call the seed of an oak tree?
Oh, an
acorn?
No.
Told you.
Oh, you rat.
It's an acorn.
An acorn?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Let's move on. So,
what color is a banana?
Yellow?
Yellow. Uh-huh.
God, stop it.
Hey, let's have a little bit more fun. Hey, Jay, what do you call that that big room in your house that you park your cars in?
My car hole. A garage. Oh, you missed the fence.
Pack the cat in the garage, dude.
I had to tear down the carport.
The carport. We don't have carports up here.
We don't have snow. Those because
no, we have snow.
Snow drifts fill them up.
The purpose.
That's the fucking point.
Jason, did you have a theory about the hug of death?
Yeah. I'm thinking what happened is that when his wife saw the girlfriend coming up, she just accidentally brushed his gun and it just accidentally went off and just accidentally caused all this.
Accidentally shot her right in the chest. One shot stop. All of you who think 40 short and weak won't do the job, well, there you go.
Well, of course it'll do the job. It just does it with a whole lot of muzzle flip. Otherwise, she would have been able to double tap her.
Well, it did the job better than a divorce lawyer would have, so.
Well, I don't know. The divorce lawyer still might be on retainer.
Is he even married? I have to look that up now. I don't even.
When I read on there, he was dancing with his wife when the girl came up.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
Oh, I had not heard that. Oh. Yeah. Okay.
She just came up to him and started dancing with him, and.
Uh-oh. Okay. Yeah.
Which is why I think the wife went, "Oh no, you didn't."
Hell has no fury like a woman's scorn, especially if that woman's got a Smith and Wesson.
And to be fair, I don't know if the wife like meant to shoot her or just meant to scare her by pointing a gun at her.
Either way.
But yeah, guns are not told. They're for keeping the King of England at your face.
Sure.
Well, it is an M&P and has no manual safety. And if you pull the trigger, it's going to go off.
Oh, God. How many times has that been written up? There's no manual safety. No safeties. No safeties.
No, there is a safety. It's just in the trigger. You have to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
It's like a Glock.
Actually, there's a bunch of stories that have been talk about the internal safeties, which is a nice step up from yeah. back in the days when you'll shoot your leg off with your Glock. Glock service revolver.
Very important caliber. Don't put your finger on the trigger.
Yeah.
Your first safety
is in your brain, And if you're screwing up after that, then things can happen. If you're not conscious and mindful around guns.
Safety on the trigger was like having your brake pedal right on top, right inside your accelerator pedal.
Right, exactly.
Believe it or not, they actually make some.
Alan, internerd. Okay, let's move on.
Wow.
He was gonna start talking about.
I'm not doing anything.
Okay.
Alan quits.
Yep. Hey. Speaking of which, Jason.
Yeah.
You ever fire a revolver that had a safety?
Have I ever fired a revolver with a safety?
No. Yeah.
I did. I used to have a Heritage Rough Rider.
Oh, the 22?
Yeah.
Man, every time you talk about revolvers, every time you talk about safeties on revolvers, somebody always brings that one up. It's like the only one that had a safety.
Yeah, the lemon squeezers.
The original Smith & Wesson Model 40.
Did Webley have one? Did the Webley Fosbury have a safety?
The Webley Fosbury did, because it was actually a single action only, so it needed to be carried cocked and locked.
Yeah, but I think those are the only two. That little Enfield 38 Smith & Wesson they had, and that they used in Britain, that you almost had to keep your thumb on the safety to fire it all the time. That was the big reason the British finally decided to go with the 9mm high power.
But yeah, essentially, yeah, revolvers and safeties. It's really a game of gun geekery to discuss them, because as a general rule, it's the gun comes out of the holster. You put your finger on the trigger. You pull the trigger. The gun goes.
Which is good for every gun, really.
Yep.
Don't want it to go off. Don't put your booger hook on the bang switch. Done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Everything else is superfluous.
Yeah. It's very simple.
It just gets in the way and breaks. I mean, think about it. You got this. Your typical 1911 that a lot of people love, and I love them, and I know Jay and Weird love them, and Brita loves them. But you practically have to go to school to learn how to operate one of those things, because between the grip safety and how you have to hold it to keep that thing activated and practicing taking it, taking the manual safety off and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's not just pick it up and shoot it, it's complicated.
It's not intuitive.
No.
And they were handing these off to grunts.
Right.
For two world wars.
Yeah. Keep your finger off the trigger.
If you want to really start a tempest in a teapot, get around some 1911 people and tell them that you can actually get away with carrying a 1911 in condition two. I get in so many arguments about that, and the thing is, you can do it. You just have to practice to do it.
Sure, like anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm staying away from that one.
Yeah.
Here there be dragons and gun geekery in a non-gun podcast.
Yeah. That might be going too far.
Yeah, we could go down the rabbit hole.
Well,
and Jason's right, but
yep.
I'm not arguing there, but yeah.
Speaking of gun geekery on a gun non-gun podcast. Hey, we have another caller.
Woo-hoo!
Yay!
Hey, thanks for calling, Jason.
Thanks, Jason. Good to hear from you.
Y'all have a good one.
All right, bye.
Thanks, Jason.
Hey, another caller. Area code 303.
Trajectory.
Nice.
There you go.
Say that again.
I can't say it. Damn it.
Tragedy.
I can spell it.
Just say tragedy.
So, caller, who do we have on the line?
Good evening, caller.
Well, am I area code 303?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Wait a minute. You called us. Shouldn't you know?
No, I called in on Skype, and I'm not supposed to have an area code when you call in on Skype.
Oh, it's showing up as an area code 303.
It's Kevin Bacon.
Is it Kevin Bacon?
Awesome. Wow. This is like 2 weeks in a row, isn't it?
No,
every time he calls, the IQ goes up like 1,000 points.
Yeah. Plus, dude, you know, Tremors was awesome.
Derp. So, Kevin, what's your take?
I tend to think it's your idea that the wife accidentally shot the girlfriend is a hell of a lot more plausible than, you know, it was an accidental discharge from a holstered firearm inside the waistband went up through her lung and her heart. I'm sorry, that just doesn't work.
No.
Right.
There's no way.
Yeah. Second,
she been hitting the femoral artery and bled out? Okay, yeah, that's possible.
Weapon to fire.
Oh, I'm sorry, Kevin.
Say that again, you got stumped.
I was just saying, I'm going to object to Alan's take. Firing a 1911 is not a difficult thing. Wrap your hand around it, put your thumb on top of the safety. It's easy to shoot. It works fine. There's no problem with, I mean,
if you can't
manipulate the grip safety on a 1911, there is something wrong with your grip.
Yes. He's left-handed.
Well, no, I'm not talking. I'm just saying that when who's never fired a gun before in their life, you hand them a 1911 or you hand them a Glock, which do you think they're going to have an easier time of shooting?
True.
Well, either way, if they 1911, do it improperly,
the Glock is a New York trigger.
Bang!
I'm not saying it's hard to shoot, Kevin. I'm just saying comparatively, there's a lot more to remember with a 1911. Yes.
Hey, field stripping in 1911 is the whole reason I shot revolver for a shitload of years, because I hated taking that fucking thing apart. Holy crap, I'd get out the fucking instructions every time. What the hell do I do? Okay, I push this in, pull this here, twist this, turn this. Like, what the hell am I doing? Am I disassembling a gun or am I playing Twister?
That's why you're in sales, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Bingo.
That's why you pee on the air, right?
Twice.
Oh,
good Lord.
So anyway, hey, Kevin, while you're here,
yeah,
I wanted to segue into the small arms treaty.
Oh.
Ooh, you're smooth.
Can I just make a point? Because I know he's not going to call in. My friend T-Bolt just made a point in secret backroom chatting. He said the girl was behind him and got hit in the left side of her chest. Where does a right-hander keep his inside the waistband holster?
Oh, on the right side.
On the right side. So if she got hit on the left side.
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
New Jovian Thunderbolt's calling in.
Oh, good.
No way.
Yes,
oh, now he's yelling at me. Because
he's going to prove you wrong.
He's going to prove you wrong. Hey, thanks for calling in, Kevin.
Not a problem.
All right. Bye.
Kevin Baker.
The one and only.
Smallest minority.
Oh. I did not hang up on Kevin. I mean, I did not hang up on New Jovian Thunderbolt.
You just hung out.
I clicked on accept and it went away.
Yeah, you hung up on T-Bolt. That's
I
it.
I did not.
Who put Alan in charge of technology?
The rest of us who suck at it?
Yeah. Just so you know, Alan, T-Bolt's going to ask you to start dancing behind him.
Well, he needs to call back because.
Call back.
Damn it.
We're going to blame it on the underpants gnomes.
What a brat. Okay.
There it is. I clicked accept. All right. You there?
What?
There he is.
There he is.
You screwed me and stole my thunder anyway.
I'm sorry. You can talk. See, but you would have a better means of describing it. So go ahead.
You handed it to Burst of Thunder. Come on.
Trajectory.
I can't say it. I'm sorry. Trajectory.
There you go.
Yay.
Did I say it?
Yes.
Okay. Now move on. Censor it. Censure. Move on.
No. Go on.
There's too many unanswered questions on this story.
Yes, there are.
We're going to get all the facts.
No, we're not.
Never.
Yeah. I don't believe half the things they've told us already.
I don't believe any of it. I don't believe anyone was shot.
I believe she was at his house, and that's about the only thing.
I'm not even sure about that. They might have been somewhere else.
He was shooting in their rounds in the air for 4th of July. Yeah. They were up there for 5 days, and then they came back down and hit her in the chest.
That's right.
That could be.
From an upward angle.
I know. She was standing on her head. Wait, no, she was standing on her head.
Yes, that's what it was.
She came down 4 days later. Yeah.
Holding a car antenna in the middle of a field in a thunderstorm.
Came into the window. Excuse me, winder.
Winder.
Window. What's wrong with you people?
Winda.
Making fun of my trajectory.
She was standing on the grassy knoll.
That's right. And the comedian from Watchmen was there.
It bounced off the zinc.
So what do you think happened, T-Bolt?
I have no idea.
You have no idea.
The Illumina.
I even posted about this. I mean, there's a huge, major quantity of facts that are whole missing from this story.
Well, right. We don't know what happened, but we damn sure know what didn't happen. And what didn't happen is what they say happened.
Okay, what happened is somebody's dead.
Yeah.
And it was probably a Smith & Wesson 40 caliber, though I'm not sure on that.
Kevin Baker in the chat says she was limboing under him when his wife accidentally pulled the trigger.
Yeah, that's what it was.
I'll go with that.
Yep.
Yeah, it might not have been a 40 Smith & Wesson. It might have been the 32 Raven that he had kicking around as his throwdown, and realized once his buddy started covering for him that, oh, I can keep this throwdown. So can we just say it was my service gun?
Apparently, I've been going the wrong fish fries.
Yeah.
All of my fish fries are at the Catholic Church. I don't know. Or the Italian club.
You're doing it wrong.
You don't know how to do a fish fry.
What's the difference between the Italian club and the Catholic Church?
She's doing it right because nobody shot her in the chest.
Yeah, apparently.
But she is missing a leg. I'm just saying.
You never know what happened.
Took your leg clean off. No, wait.
But my favorite part was the why was he carrying a gun with all of his relatives around? It was just a party in his own home with all his. Well, why do I carry a gun when I'm all by myself in my house taking a shower?
You wear the gun while you're in the shower?
Bathing.
That's why you got a stainless.
Why you got stainless, exactly.
What? Where do you put the holster?
You don't
want to know.
Well, some things that a man shouldn't.
Weren't you just asking where Fiona puts her gun?
Oh, God.
Yeah, exactly.
Just as long as it's not like a soap
character. That's all. Parties mean party crashers.
That's right.
You got to go home from the party after.
I'm sorry. I'm still stuck on the shower.
If I was visiting Brita's house or Alan's house or JG's house, I'd be totally safe. But I eventually have to leave Brita's house, JG's house, or Alan's house and go to my hotel or my house.
Exactly.
That's when I'm going to need my firearm.
Yep.
Although if you left my house to go home, you'd have to go through New York.
I go the long way.
through Canada? That's better.
Atlantic. Yes.
No, Connecticut.
He would swim.
He'd go to the harbor.
Ebolt apparently has one of the amphicars.
Oh, one
really
of those
big gas tank.
One of those ones they use on the duck tours.
The duck tour.
Yeah.
The duck.
Port starboard. Kitchen. Little window on the side.
You would get home in about 6 weeks.
What? Intracoastal harbor or intracoastal waterways.
Right. And if you had an amp car, you would get home in about 6 weeks.
Yeah, once I get to Delaware, it slows right down. But between Boston.
What are you, retarded?
Long Island. And stay 20 miles off the New Jersey coast, I'll be fine.
You got to stay 20 miles off the New Jersey coast because it's like eight inches deep about 4 miles out from that coastline.
Plus, exactly. There's the stench of Snooki.
New Jersey is all one big fucking sandbar.
Are you living in New Jersey? What exit?
What exit?
What's funny is every fucking Jersey person knows the answer to that. And they often won't get the joke.
Well, I'm sorry I called in. You're all horribly unfriendly.
Yes. Oh. Yes, we are, aren't we?
Well, except for you, Trajectory.
Trajectory.
I think Rita just got a nickname.
You're adorable.
Well, it helps if I look at the word. Never mind.
You're like a gingerbread house. You're so adorable.
Oh, thanks.
Rita, are you undressing that word with your eyes?
Trajectory. Yes, I am. I'm memorizing it and fondling it in my brain.
Nice.
Trajectory.
I like trajectory better.
Okay. Nuclear. There you go.
Library.
Let me ask you a question at the library.
Oh, stop. Please. I heard it so hard. Please, no. Anyway, thank you so much for calling in. And
Yeah.
No,
kind of clarifying things.
Make sure you hit the Inner Harbor down in Balmer.
Yeah, Union Street Oyster House. It's bellies. Steamed clam with bellies.
Right next to Sully's. You can't miss it.
Harpoon IPA there.
Turn left at the retarded kid selling flowers. You're right there.
It's starting to sound like Missouri
Maybe
politics.
Maybe Narragansett.
Narragansett
Lager.
Fucking right. Now he's speaking my language. The Harpoon IPAs are way too nice for me.
That's some good beer there. I get wicked hammered on that.
That fucking nasty Gansett dude. I was ripping him in the packing lot.
I gotta go to Packy's.
Go to the Packy. Gotta go to the Packy.
I gotta get Packy's. Okay,
Packies. So anyway.
All right.
It's like old home week.
That UN Small Arms Treaty. How about that?
Yeah, hey! UN Small Arms Treaty, which needs to be ratified by...
Didn't you post like a fake propaganda report about that was made up by somebody?
Actually, it wasn't fake. It was from the UN website.
Oh, so what you're saying is written by like the Nigerian people that are trying to get me to get $20 million out of their country?
It's probably their cousins.
The 419 scam.
It's written by Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, who's just trying to kill his own people.
Yeah, I actually...
The use of a semicolon is offensive.
Yeah, I actually found the source of that that GIF, and it's from a website that talks about the implementation of the UN Small Arms Treaty. And
it's really UN.
Yep.
Source.
Yep.
Oh, good.
Yes, it is. It was actually that actual document is dated 2008, but if you look at their live website, it really hasn't changed. They stress. Regulation and registration and control of civilian firearms. I mean, it's really
it in Japanese stereo instructions.
They can dress it up all they want to, but really, it's all about civilian control of civilian ownership of firearms.
Of course, it is.
And you know what's really cool about it is that most of those things that they're proposing, like showing ID every time you buy ammunition and not allowed to buy certain scary looking guns and universal registration and universal licensing and all that. It's called Massachusetts. And guess what? It doesn't fucking work here.
Well, it
gangbangers still get guns here in Mass.
You got to look at this from the UN and from the government's point of view, right? Criminals are not a threat to the government. They never have been, never will be. Government doesn't give a shit about criminals.
No, that's not true. The government needs criminals because it needs the good people to be afraid. Okay.
But
need the votes.
But criminals are not a threat.
No, they're not a threat. That is
a commodity.
So you know, complaining that a law doesn't do anything to stop criminals is kind of silly because that's not the point. You know, these laws are, you know, to get the hands out of people that would otherwise resist the government from doing whatever they want to do. That's why all the, you know, dictators in the UN club.
The Second Amendment, not the other way around.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the way, is there any word on if this goes through, who's going to actually enforce this shit?
It's enforced by each individual country, which means it won't be enforced at all except where they want to.
Which is kind of the whole fucking point.
Whoever wants to enforce it.
Right. Which means the usual suspects that, you know, sell arms to anybody will keep selling arms to anybody. When the U.S. tries to sell another batch of planes to Taiwan, China will go, hey, you can't do that.
Our hands are tied. We got to do this.
Right.
Well, not a batch of planes, but if they try to sell a batch of M-16s, because it doesn't cover missiles or rockets or any sort of heavy ordnance. Any sort of shit that you would get actually concerned about one country selling to another country. China decides to sell North Korea a bunch of stealth fighters, then that's no big deal. But, you know, we try to sell Smith and Wesson M&Ps to the new Iraqi government. That's where some issue comes on.
Yeah.
Or Sigmas. I guess they've been dumping a lot of Sigmas over there.
Well, duh, wouldn't you?
Yes. Here, take this, Haji. Have fun.
Here you go.
Here's a 2x4 for pulling the trigger.
give him Smith & Wesson Sigmas and Mosin Nagant 9130s.
Well,
here you go, guys.
You know, and the interesting thing is how the, you know, Obama and Clinton are like hot and heavy on this thing and trying to downplay the whole, you know, civilian aspect of it. You know, oh, we need this.
Well, we have to, you know, pass the bill before we find out what's in it.
Well, the story is
we have to sign the treaty before we find out what's in it.
We need this to cut down on international arms trade. And we're like, but this doesn't really do anything for international arms trade because there's no governing body to do anything.
Well, that's, oh, geez, a UN treaty that doesn't have any teeth and doesn't do anything?
Well, it does something. It gives the U.S. government the excuse to, you know, regulate and register civilian arms in the U.S.
Well, who's going to supply arms to the Mexican drug cartels if we don't?
Well, the ATF will.
Oh, I didn't think of that. Sorry, you're right.
Just like they always have.
I'm glad they got that covered for us.
You know, we sell guns. We sell M16s to the Mexican government. The Mexican government sells them to the cartels and then complains about it.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Because though 90% of the guns traced came back to the U.S. Well,
to be fair, there's a whole lot of G36, whatever that fucking shitty plastic Kraut gun is. There's been a whole bunch of the German 223 carbine. Showing up on those junk on the bunk shots from the Mexicans, along with the grenades, because goodness knows there's a fuckload of grenades at gun shows.
Oh, yeah. You can just walk into any gun show and buy grenades.
I know. Like, I actually got a really good deal. I showed up on the last day of a gun show, and the guy didn't want to load it back in his truck, so I bought, like, 14 cases of 40-millimeter HE grenades for, like, $25. It was awesome.
Profiting off of laziness. I was
throwing them in the bonfire for 4th of July. It was awesome.
You know, the bigger story, I mean, we all know that Barack Obama and liberals and Hillary Clinton have always been, you know, gunning for gun control. I mean, that's one of their prime directives.
That's their bread and butter.
Really, it is. So that's not, that does not come as a surprise to me. None of this. What comes as a surprise to me is that they would do this, like, dare to sign this treaty, not only on the heels of Fast and Furious, but also in an election year. Gun control is a losing election issue.
Which pisses me off, because the last thing I want is Mitt Romney as president.
Well, okay, but still, yeah. What this says to me is that they're willing to risk this to pander to their base, which means they're in serious shit now.
And to be fair, just in case anyone who isn't following at home, their base is Mahmoud Ahmadinejad.
Or,
I'm not sure, Brita. I wonder if it's not so much. I'm not sure if it's so much pandering as it is. That's what he really believes.
No, yes, we know that. But there,
you know,
yes. But there are people. He is not working by himself. I mean, there are people working his campaign and saying, you know, we got to do this, we got to do that.
Well, here's the thing, though, is that will never get through the Senate.
No.
It will
so
not
why
be.
Are they risking it?
It will not be ratified.
Why
are they risking it?
Maybe that's why.
Kyoto Treaty.
Right.
That's all you got to know. 99-0. One guy was taking a shit when the vote was taken.
Right. And
it's not it. So okay, I cheerfully withdraw my last comment.
Okay.
I think you're absolutely right. He's putting it out as red meat to the Balder Oldensons and Jason Kilgores.
Right.
And yeah, I did that on purpose. Weird.
I love you, Jay.
as a we're trying to make the U.S. more accountable, but you know those evil right wingers that control the Senate won't allow us.
Right.
Also, to be fair, this is also. We're also talking about, I mean, you know, Hillary Clinton was, you know, directly behind the assault weapons ban. Barack Obama was on the board of directors of the Joyce Foundation. I mean, gun control is their bread and butter. It's their religion.
Sure.
And we're now living in a post Heller world. I mean, that's the, you know, in all the, you know, all the back channel talk between all the gun control advocates, they're all saying, oh, Heller's a really good decision. Heller's a great thing. Meanwhile, they're all brainstorming going, how the fuck do we get around this?
Exactly.
Well, and at least one Supreme Court member has already said that she looks forward to overturning Heller at some point in the future.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent.
At some point in the future, meaning when we get one more.
Exactly.
Right, you know. So re-elect Barack Obama.
Or sometime in the future, we finally repeal Roe versus Wade.
I don't know why they keep thinking that this could possibly be a winning issue. I mean, we are winning.
Well, here's
the
thing.
Second Amendment fight here. I mean, we're winning.
The people that would not be happy with a gun control treaty. Are also the people that would never vote for Obama in a million years. So he doesn't have to worry about that.
I don't know.
He's the biggest problem Obama has right now is the leftists that don't think he's left enough and they're going to stay home.
If you have to start begging your base to vote for you with a hot issue like gun control and something as huge as signing away the sovereignty of the United States to the United Nations, you're fucked. I'm sorry.
Oh, but Barry would sign away the sovereignty of the United States for like a sandwich and a pack of smokes.
I don't believe that. I believe he wants power. He wants to stay in power.
He wants to be the next Secretary General of the UN.
Maybe that's it. That could be.
Yeah, they said that about Bill Clinton too. He's content to sit back and bang interns now.
No, it's not. He doesn't have interns anymore. Now he's living in Harlem. It's hookers. they've got a lot. They've got a lot more skill than the intern.
He's got a number. He's got one of those take a number things outside his office.
Yeah, he doesn't have to shoot any of them with a 40 Smith and Wesson.
Now serving number 75.
Bang! 76.
Though Hillary may.
I'm not. She don't care.
I just think politically, it's more interesting.
I'm getting a glass of water.
Okay, thank you, Jay.
Enjoyed that one.
You know, Jay, are you on your phone?
I am, and it's working. Is it working?
Let me just,
I don't know.
Let me tell you just for a second, because I'm using my iPhone as well to use Skype to call in. There is a mute button over on the left-hand bottom side. It looks like a little microphone. You can press that, and it mutes you. So we don't have to listen.
I'm going to take you into the bathroom next time I need to take a shit. Keep that up.
Okay. I'm shushing you, Jay.
She's not just shushing you. She's shushing your pee hole.
I'm shushing you.
I was not peeing. I was getting a glass of water.
Yeah, that's what they all say.
I'm drinking the water.
Actually, you know what? I believe it's water because if he was peeing, he'd have told us.
Yeah, actually, that's probably true.
So what's your take on the U.N. Small Arms Treaty there, T-Bolt?
He's gone.
I don't know.
No, he's not.
Oh, he's still on the line.
Of course he's still on the line. I hadn't hung up on him yet.
He can't quit us, man.
That's up in New York. I'm down here in D.C. I don't know what's going on up there.
Yeah, it doesn't affect me. Why should I vote? Who cares?
I have enough to deal with Inside the Beltway stuff.
Yes, you do.
You've got to admit that that's a big plate of food I got to deal with.
You know, I wanted to ask you, has there been any update on getting your concealed carry license?
Oh, hell no. We got to wait for a few court cases to, or like wait for judges to come through and say, go ahead and let them do it.
Are you actually in D.C.? Surely not.
It happened in June, goddammit.
Oh, Maryland.
Oh, Maryland. Okay. Which brings up the obvious question of, good Lord, man, are you crazy? Maryland.
Living this close to the District of Columbia, but we get such great electrical service.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know what? Good segue, T-Bolt. Thank you so much.
That's actually...
That is coming up in the second hour. We're going to be talking about the big power outage on the East Coast and how it affected so many people.
Oh, we're going to get Laura to call in?
I don't believe Laura is listening.
Aww.
You know, 911 would be nice when the power goes out.
We can make her squeak.
We're going to be having J.B. Miller call in because he wrote a good blog post.
Yes, he did.
And I think it's a kind of a interesting topic. I mean, we can talk about politics all night long, but this is something that actually affects people. And the big joke in Willoughby is like, especially in our street, it's like, okay, nobody sneeze. We're going to lose power. You know, it's like for no reason the power will go out and has a number of times.
Let's save that for when Marty calls in.
Well.
And in the meantime, in the next 10 minutes, let's talk about the manly president.
Oh, God.
Yeah! Oh, my God, I laughed my ass off.
Was he wearing his mom jeans?
No, he was wearing slacks and a dress shirt.
And loafers.
And dress shoes while digging next to a swamp.
Washington D.C. is next to a swamp. Thank you very much.
In a fashion that makes it absolutely clear, with no doubt whatsoever, that the man has done absolutely no physical labor his entire life.
All you have to do is look to see. Like, first up, he's not touching the shovel till suddenly he realizes the cameras are rolling. Because it's one of those things of the, you know, as soon as the cameras are off, shovel's on the ground.
I found a video of it.
That's the link I used on the blog.
Yeah, it is exactly that. You can see him standing there waiting for somebody to give him the cue.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
It was creepy to me.
Yeah, it was weird.
And he's digging this hole, and he's throwing the dirt like 2 inches to the side of the hole. Which anyone who's ever planted a tree or dug a hole knows that you've got to toss it a little ways, because as soon as you get dig down, that big pile on the side is going to roll right into your hole, and you're going to say, "Fuck!"
Did I blog about the day after the power outage?
What? Not yet.
When I was heading north, I was taking Archie up to his daughter's house in West Virginia because she had power.
Uh-huh.
Did I blog about that?
Yes, you did.
Yep.
And I'm going north on 270, and what is clearly a presidential motorcade goes right by me.
Oh, interesting.
That's right. That's right, because you complained about the OPSEC.
They got huge black vans and black SUVs and a park police car was leading the way because they have a real light bar on the top, and they look like a real police, so you're going to pull over for that guy. So everybody's pulling over that, and they zip right by me. Actually, it kind of helped to help clear the traffic quite a bit. and I was able to get moving. So I appreciated it. I'm sure
he took
the Marine One helicopter up to Camp David, and these were like the cooks and the assistant to the chief of staff.
Yeah, because they need a motorcade.
Blah blah blah.
No. The motorcade was for both dog. The staff had to take bicycles.
But, you know, he goes up there. He definitely vacations up into a country-like area. You know, you figure he could clear some brush up there at least.
That's a good one.
No, he sends Michelle out to do that. Have you seen her arms?
Oh, my God. And it was right after the storm, so I know there's limbs on the ground he could have picked up.
Nope. Not going to happen.
He has people.
He's what my mom would call an indoor boy.
God. What was that number? The Bushes had 18 servants at the White House. The Obamas have 30 something.
At least.
Well, when you have a squalling
the royal penis,
you need a lot
is
more
clean.
Take care of it.
So, but you lost power too. So.
Me?
Yeah, well, you. How long
Except
was
for
it?
30 seconds on Saturday. I lost power for 3 days.
Oh, 3 days.
Ow.
Yeah.
Why do you not have a generator? Why?
Well, I happen to know the exact cost of every single type of generator I could buy right now, let me tell you very much.
Well, yeah. Now, yeah.
Yeah, we've had lots of power outages, but they always like do it in hurricane season or wintertime. This is the first time it did during the 100-degree heat.
Yeah.
And people are really pissed at our electric company right now.
Oh, and you're getting charged extra for it.
Yeah, well, they can charge you even though they're not, as though they were delivering power to your house at the same rate.
Yeah.
Even though they're not delivering power to your house at the same rate. I think that they should have to send me a check for every minute that I'm not on. That would really give them an incentive to get it up, and we wouldn't have to do any of this regulation crap.
Or you could have a municipal power company where you know they live in your town and all that. We had a power outage. I think it was this week. We had a power outage, and I called up the power company, and I happened to be the first person to call because they kind of went, oh, you've got a power company. They gave me the bullshit line. Were you messing with your circuit breakers? Do your neighbors have power? I said, here, let me check. And I stuck my head out the window and hollered to my neighbor. And, of course, the person thought I was hollering to them, which was kind of odd because it was one of those, you told me to check with my goddamn neighbor. What do you expect? So I hollered to my neighbor who was out in the backyard. Do you guys have power? They were out having a cookout, so they weren't aware one way or the other. So they stuck their head in. Yep, our power's out too. And the power was
you
back,
didn't just,
back
you didn't
on
just lean
minutes.
Out your window and knock on their door?
I could have. Our lots are mighty small.
But, yeah, this is the first time we've had one that didn't knock any major limbs off of trees in my neighborhood. Pepco's actually been through here and done some trimming.
Well, that's because they already got knocked off on the previous storm.
Yeah, and like I said, they've trimmed. But yet, when the whole trees go over and they shut off, you know, major roads like Connecticut Avenue. Connecticut Avenue is named that because it goes into the heart of D.C., and they named the big streets after states. Like Mass Ave, that's a very big street there, Jay. You got one of the better streets in the city.
It's funny how they named the streets after some of the smallest states there are.
Because we were one of the first.
Because they were there first.
Right.
Pennsylvania Avenue is pretty big too.
We gotta make them change
Hawaii
those names.
Hawaii Avenue is really short.
It's an alley. Yeah. What about Kenya Avenue?
We don't have one of those, Jay. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Guam Street.
Just wait.
Yeah.
Guam Street.
American
New York, Rhode Island, Georgia, Connecticut, Mass,
Puerto Rico,
Wisconsin. Wisconsin's one of the biggest. Period. They're kind of late. They came to the game late.
Ooh, yawn. Wow.
Uh-oh.
They're an actual
I'm
Indian
sorry,
trail.
Alan. Are we keeping you up?
Holy cow.
It's yeah, all
Alan, pop the top of the chair.
I reached for the mute button and didn't make it in time.
You know, just wait till you reach for the toilet and don't make it in time, Alan. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. I wasn't
there, done
say.
That.
Ohio Avenue? Don't know about it.
Alan, hey. Alan, at your Sorry. Age, you could never trust a fart. That's all.
Oh, Jay. God.
Jay, at any age, I can't trust a fart. Are you kidding
Can we
me?
Not?
Don't ever trust
do this
a fart.
Tonight?
Apparently
on
not.
Avenue, that's right.
I think
actually
we already
happens
are,
to be yeah. down there where he gets good seafood, so that's kind of serendipitous.
I want to talk more about mom jeans and man shoulders.
Yeah. Did you see the picture of him with the pick?
Yeah.
No.
Kind of squatting.
Yeah, he needs to get that whole whipping thing down with a, you know, grabbing near the tip there.
Yeah.
Get some momentum on the on that head. Let's post
it in chat. I want to see this.
It was on Facebook. You missed it, weird. Should have been on Facebook. Oh, well. Too bad.
It.
Hey, Marty's calling in.
Wait a minute. The Facebooks, isn't it?
Yeah.
My face.
Thanks for calling in, T-Bolt.
I'm out.
Thanks, T-Bolt. Hey.
Bye. And there's area code 703.
My buddy, the gun enthusiast.
Ah, okay. Hello?
Yeah, that's me. Greetings, humans.
Hello. Good evening.
Salutations, humanoid.
Yep, I was, the day that power outage hit was the first day of my vacation, and I completely missed the whole thing.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, it's interesting. My house sitter was here, and I was starting to hear reports on it in the news because I was camping in Syracuse. Of course, camping, I don't, like, pay that much attention because there's too much beer to drink. And at my house, because my house is in a new neighborhood and all of the power lines are underground, they never lost power here. But at one point, I think the news said that 1.75 million people lost power.
Wow.
And lots of them lost power for more than a week.
Oh, my goodness.
My sister-in-law lost her power for 9 days this time.
Oh yeah, it was bad. A lot of people.
And she learned her lesson after that last big hurricane that hammered up through the Chesapeake, and got a generator. So, you know, her freezer didn't thaw and stuff like that. But,
yeah, but you know, even when you get a generator, 9 days, man, you got to be hunting down the gas and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I mean,
she only had 15 gallons of gas.
Yeah,
and if it's, you know, I think she said it did. Like a third of a gallon an hour.
Yep.
And she burned through her gas really fast.
Yeah, you know? Sure.
And there was trees down in the driveway and stuff, and she, you know, it was a royal pain.
Well,
and
plus you got that
the other collateral thing from
gas
that
stations
big power
need power
outage
to pump the gas out of the tanks.
Right.
Was due to a huge Verizon outage. There wasn't any 911 service in my county for over 7 days.
Your 911 service is dependent on Verizon?
Correct.
Okay.
It turns out, you know, 911, the people that ran that, they're pointing their fingers at Verizon.
Okay.
And now that it's all back up, it turns out that it was a Verizon issue.
Hmm.
But from my perspective, I don't care. You guys can point fingers at each other all you want. I don't care what plumbing stopped working. You know, I already don't have confidence in 911 because, you know, when seconds count, help is only minutes away.
Right.
And, you know, if response time is already 15 minutes and now you can't even count on 15-minute response time when your power's out and it's 106 degrees and my kid's grandfather is like 89 years old. And he lives on the fourth floor in a tower. Right? And it's just incredible. And what is even more incredible, they weren't letting people know that 911 wasn't working.
Eek. Okay.
Because
but was
they thought,
it was
oh,
your,
it'll be back
your,
any minute.
Regular service line available?
Right. It'll be back any time now. And they kept doing that for two whole days.
Oh.
You know, it's like they were afraid, okay, if the world finds out that 2.3 million people in our region don't have 911 service, they were afraid that a crime wave was going to start.
Yeah, at 106 degrees, I don't think so.
And at 106 degrees, when these giant storms just came through,
right,
and huge trees are, like, trapping people in their homes, and they might be able to dial 911. Oh, sorry, Charlie, no dice.
Hmm.
So that's just incredible. I just, you know, what kills me is that they tell everybody, oh, you can always dial 911. You don't need to have firearms. Why do you need to carry a gun? You can just call 911 and hide in the bathroom.
Yeah, until you can.
And,
right.
And it's just not true. And
no, of course not. It's 911 is not there to come, like, it's not, he's, 911 is not like Superman, you know, come to save the day kind of thing. Most of the time, yeah, they get there and it's all over.
Plus, any sort of major, you know, civil disturbance. I mean, 911 turned into a busy signal during during the September 11th attacks.
Sure.
I mean, it just, you know, and you know, this, the same thing goes for that big crazy blackout when the whatchamacallit place in Canada blew up, and Ohio to New York City all went black. You know, just, it's one of those things of the, you know, 911, it's still a fucking phone line. It's, you know,
right,
maybe
right,
maybe a
even
little,
last
maybe
year
a
that small earthquake
phone.
The small earthquake we had in Virginia that, you know, was a 4.3 or whatever, it was just a shaker, you know, knock a few plates off the shelf kind of thing, but that completely inundated the 911 service, and the entire cellular network was collapsed under its own weight. So if something really bad were to happen,
mm-hmm,
everybody is just totally on their own. And I hope people are starting to realize that.
Well, after Katrina, what was 911 in New Orleans like? You know.
Oh, I can't imagine that there was any 911 service at all.
I can't imagine there was either. And look what happened.
I doubt there was ever 911.
Well,
and if there would have been, there wouldn't have been any cops.
Straight to voicemail, because they don't want to fucking hear that shit.
Well, remember, 911 in New Orleans means New Orleans cops come.
Yeah, you don't want that.
You're better off not dialing.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
the first thing they do is collect your firearm.
One, they're too busy looting the Walmarts.
Well, I guess you have to have a plan.
Yeah.
No.
And have it beforehand. Unlike T-Bolt, who doesn't have a generator.
I don't have a generator.
Yeah, I don't have one either.
Do you lose power on a regular basis?
Not really. That's a good point, because where he lives, they lose power all the damn time.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't the first or the second. It's a long line of power outages. And yes, T-Bolt, we're picking on you. You know,
it's interesting. I set my house up where it doesn't matter if I lose power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I keep in my freezer, I must have 22-liter bottles of water in there.
Yep.
So that it's a giant quantity of ice inside my freezer that will keep the thing cold for 10 days, enough time for me to eat all the food out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I really don't need power. And so the
I
key to, you know, emergency situations is not to need it. You know,
right,
the worst thing that happens is your freezer's thaw, and then you just eat steak really a lot for a few days.
Yeah.
You'd salt it.
Hurry, cook right, everything.
That's why I don't de-ice my freezer.
That's not the reason.
Yeah, when you look at loss of power, at work they always talk about the rule of tens. There is, what's going to happen if we lose power for 10 seconds? What's going to happen if we lose power for 10 minutes?
Yeah.
And what's going to happen when we lose power for 10 hours? And then 10 days, and then 10 months, and then 10 seasons. I mean, that's when you really start getting into the, you know, the hardcore survivalist kind of preparations and stuff. But, you know, getting through 10 seconds and 10 minutes and 10 hours and even 10 days, mm-hmm. in a huge IT organization, they have to think about that. But the thing is most people, even in that situation, aren't prepared for 10 days worth of outage. Take a close look at your own lives, and I don't care if my, microwave clock is blinking.
I do. It bugs the shit out of me.
Well, that brings up a good point because I read your post and I thought, yesterday I made a note to myself that to bring that up because I thought it would be a good, topic to bring up tonight. And then this morning my power went out. For 3 hours.
Enough to ruin.
I lost my pork shoulder. Yeah, because I an hour before the power went out, I'd put a pork shoulder in the crock pot, and then the power went out. I was like, "Fuck."
I think it would have been good, Alan.
I still would have ate it.
I tell you, it was already starting to smell pretty rank by the time I pulled it out because apparently the combination of.
Are you sure it was okay when you put it in there?
Yeah, it was okay when I put it in. It just, it was just that sweet spot, I guess. I don't know. Anyway.
Well, had it partially cooked a little bit?
Well, it had just started to get warm.
Oh, ugh.
And.
Yeah. Ugh. I would have thrown it out too.
But, I was looking at I was thinking about the fridge and what I, because it was just coming up on 4 hours when the power came back on. And I was thinking, crap, all the stuff I got to get rid of. And, but that wasn't so bad. And it's the longest power outage we've had, basically since I've been living here. But, I thought it was interesting that, the power went out. And it's a good thing it came back on because, I live in an apartment, so I don't have, really don't have a generator or anything else.
You have an excuse. You're excused.
But, I have a patio, so I could run a generator on the patio, on the balcony,
If he had to.
If I had to. And, the whole hurricane thing and whatnot. So now I'm looking at going, generator. Yeah.
There's a lot of really, really nice, small, efficient generators that you can actually get.
But, The other thing I wanted to mention was that I have Verizon Fios, and I don't rely on them for my phones. I do rely on them for my internet. But the Fios went down, and it went down because the freaking battery inside the fiber termination box is apparently dead.
Mm-hmm.
And even though my router and my Wi-Fi and my network had power because I have UPSs, the Verizon was down because it didn't have power. So, I unplugged them and, said, oh, look, dead battery light. I was thinking we're getting to the point now where the system, our infrastructure is so fragile that, when we first started building this stuff back at the turn of the century, if it went down, it really wasn't that big a deal because most people didn't, it was kind of like a luxury thing, the phone and a car and stuff like that. Yeah. If you didn't have it or you couldn't get it or whatever, it didn't really matter that much. Cause you never had one growing up anyway and who cared?
And folks knew how to do things without it. That's the other thing.
Because they grew up without it. But we've had, generations now with it and we actually come to rely on this stuff. And at the same time, we've kind of backed off. Remember back in the 50s and 60s, AT&T built the phone network to survive a nuclear attack. That shit was stout and, telco quality was like the grade A, the shit. It was the thing to have. 5 nines uptime, blah, blah, blah. And nowadays you don't get that. Nobody, even the phone company doesn't do it. Because it cost savings and whatnot, everything's cut to the bare margin just in time, and they rig things for the good times. And when disaster strikes, they don't have the parts to fix things or the manpower to do it with, they rely on, all the phone companies and power companies rely on out of state people to come in and deal with a regional disaster.
Yep.
And when you have like what happened up in the Northeast, everybody was like, screw you. I got my own troubles.
Yeah, we actually, good friend who he was in chat earlier, Double Trouble, he was without power for like 3 weeks. Now, he lives in the middle of nowhere. I mean, he had to get out of his driveway and down his street with a chainsaw and a tractor.
And it took him 3 days to do it.
Yeah. At that, I mean, now there's somebody who's got a full generator set up and all kinds of wood heat, and he was fine. But because he knows, right? He's the guy to talk to, because he knows you can't depend on anybody but yourself.
And see, that's one of the big problems, because right now people have become absolutely, utterly dependent on it.
Yes.
Because, like, and in the most recent power outage, it was so hot, and the homes that we have now absolutely demand to have air conditioning.
Because they're built for it.
I mean, they bake. My house is a goddamn greenhouse.
Yep.
When it doesn't have AC on and a fucking thing. And not to mention the fact, if it was, you know, in the cold of winter, you'd be frozen in no time in a lot of these homes.
Yeah.
And especially, you know, where there's elderly people living alone. Our house
is older, and it is built for no air conditioning. We've got, you know, a lot of air movement and a lot of flow through. And really, it only gets unbearable when it gets up into the upper 90s. So the new homes, you know, they're built for air conditioning. Just like, you know, every building is all locked up tight, you know.
They don't have windows.
No windows open. Right. And it's crazy. There's like no air.
We have windows.
Alan. You have winders, and Alan has windows.
Yep,
and I have windows.
I'm the same way. I was joking. I was joking with my wife that I flipped on the air conditioning today, and I felt guilty about it.
It was
toasty warm. I wanted to take a nap, and I said, you know what, I'm gonna flip on the air conditioning. But really, I didn't need to, because I got all these rock solid plaster walls, and I crack open the windows in the morning and turn on the fans and suck in all that cool air. And then when things start getting toasty warm, I just button everything up and it stays chilly.
Well, yeah, but think of for instance, my apartment that doesn't have any, you know, all the windows that do open face the same direction. So I don't get any cross through ventilation. Ooh. No matter what, you know, and it's super insulated, and you know,
you could probably get those window fans and have
and when there's no power, that just doesn't work.
You could get palm fronds
and hire people to stand outside and wave them. I mean,
no, use cows. Texas.
Wait a minute, Alan, you guys are like thick with Mexicans. There you go.
That's right, Alan. Just drive down to the Home Depot and hold up 5 minutes. I need some Latin stat.
Yeah.
Yeah, ask him. Any of you guys got sisters? That's what I'm looking at. Just watch off with the machetes.
you gotta check their lower lip for the MS-13 tats.
So anyway, this whole power gigantic outage was just from a thunderstorm. I mean, what if something really bad happened?
Yeah.
What if there was a systematic terrorist attack of the power grid on the East Coast?
You'd lose power for a month or more.
And the thing is, the grocery stores only keep 3 days worth of food on the shelves. I mean, if you had 10 days where the entire region was dead, not a single gas pump worked anywhere, I'm sure panic would start happening in 10 days, especially if we're not getting any information because, well, there's no power. And how many people have TVs with antennas anymore that can get something?
You can't.
Who has a transistor radio? Well, I do, but, what happens when your internet is gone?
It keeps giving them to me.
What?
You get the crank radios.
I've got about 8 of those crank radios. of course, they're out there.
That's not the crank you were thinking of, dude.
So I didn't ask for them. Of course, they're L.L. Bean factory second, so half of the crank doesn't work. But then again, also I'm laid in pretty thick with batteries.
Yeah, but you know, batteries don't last.
Yeah, they don't.
Yeah, you gotta recharge them when you need them.
Yeah.
And you start using them. You know, I have a battery drawer that's probably bigger than most people. But damn, I got so many fucking remote controls in the goddamn house.
Yeah, first world problems. God, that's like Breeder's trajectory.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, the power went out, and the power's out, and the wind lights don't work, and the fridge is dead, and the crock pot doesn't work, and my daughter's like, the TV doesn't work.
Dad, something's wrong with the TV.
I'm like, yep, TV doesn't work. Read a book.
The TV runs on power.
Read a book.
My book runs on power, too.
Yeah, but you can go out and recharge that, you know, run your car. I'm actually, you know, the thing, and this sounds, I don't know.
Racist?
No. I really like the idea that, one of those electric cars where they have the option of running your house off the damn electric car.
Hmm.
The hybrids?
Yeah, most of them, the battery could run your house for approximately 10 picoseconds.
Well, no, I mean the ones with the engine and the battery bank and all that. And they have the provision where it can actually become the generator for your
house. Yeah, I've seen them with three-prong plugs in the car.
Yes, yeah.
It's just a convenience plug.
Right.
And if that could run your refrigerator,
sure.
Then you're good for
about
a while.
8 seconds.
No, but you got it. It has an engine.
You have to drive the car around.
And you can't put any more. You're going to drive your car around while powering a refrigerator with.
Well, but you run the refrigerator, you cool it down, you go get gas, and you come back. I mean, like the refrigerator, it's good for.
The power's out. You can't get gas.
What? Why not?
How they because gonna pump
the pump
is no power. Gas pumps don't work.
Oh, for crap's sake! There's got to be a way.
that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about somebody hit a transformer and power's out of my street. We're talking something big happened. There was an earthquake.
That was my thing. We had the big ice storm that snowed Double Trouble in. It was one of those. It happened to be just. Did it hit you, Jay?
No. No, we were actually spared.
Okay, but it didn't hit me either. So I just kind of didn't realize how bad it was.
Yeah,
and we happened driving up to Vermont, and it was one of those things of the I'll get gas. I need gas. I'll get gas in New Hampshire. Well, by the time we got to New Hampshire, I realized that none of the gas stations work because they don't have power, and also while I'm driving and I'm running low on gas, I realize none of the cell phones work because the towers are dead.
Yep.
That was pretty hairy.
And that's just it. It's those plugs are for convenience, and that's more the point. Yes, you could use it in a pinch if it was an emergency or for very short term. But if you're planning for something more than a couple of days, you're talking about a generator on a poured slab,
sure,
cover, and its own tank.
Right.
And like there are ways you can, because you can use home heating oil as diesel fuel. So if you get a diesel powered one, you kind of have double duty.
See a lot of ones that they put in place ones like that run on natural gas. And I'm always thinking, well, gee. That kind of relies on the gas lines working.
Yeah.
They also have them that run on propane.
Right.
And the nice thing about that is propane doesn't go bad.
Right.
As opposed to gasoline.
Right.
Which only has a shelf life of 5 or 6 months.
Yeah. If you live somewhere where you can put in a big propane tank, that'd be the way to go.
Yeah, like a 3,000-gallon propane tank.
But then... gasoline is probably easier to refill in a disaster than propane because, you got to call the propane company to come out and refill your tank, and good luck with that.
You got to get Hank Hill out.
Yeah, Hank don't want to come out.
Man, I tell you what. Sorry.
And it's kind of conspicuous when, that big propane truck that you've just liberated is parked in your backyard.
Yeah, again, remember, things are much different for Weird and I. Because we are the overlords of the Northeast if the worst goes down. Because, you know, we're two of the only gunnies around.
Well, see, that's my survival strategy. You know, anything longer than a couple of days, I'm going to start looting, and I'm well armed.
Yeah, but you're in Texas, man. Everybody, nuns are armed in Texas.
Nah, you'd be surprised how many people that live in the city don't have guns or don't have any way to protect themselves.
No, I wouldn't. I live in Massachusetts, yeah. Alan. Like I said, all I need is a map of the preppers. That's why those shows crack me up. Those shows really crack me up. Oh, I've been doing this and I've been doing that, and you know, and they show the house,
right?
And they tell you what city they're in.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, you can so find it. In the event of an end of the world scenario, I'm going to come to your house. I'm going to be standing out in the street. I'm going to shoot you with a scope rifle and walk in and take over. Thanks, yeah. Great. If you're really preparing, you're not telling anybody.
The gas stations don't work. I'll hold a gun on you while my wife siphons your car tank.
Yeah. Hey, pickup trucks are good for
something. Right, and you guys aren't the first guys to think of that.
Yeah, that's another good point.
So keep that in mind, and there's a lot of other
the other
people
guys
out in the universe
that,
with way less scruples than us.
Honey, long pig for dinner.
Yeah. I've been thinking of that. That's why I've got six boxes of ammunition stashed around the house.
Just
I mean,
six?
Well, when I say box, I mean like a storage box.
Oh.
Yeah, don't worry, guys. I've been to Jay's house. He's laid in pretty thick. And just so you know, Jay has very, very kindly informed his children that they are emergency rations.
Hey, it's like veal.
That's right. That's right. And of course your son's, you know, got the point where he's just gotten long and skinny, so unfortunately your daughter's
he's feeling it good. I'm gonna hand him a .22 and be like, son, you're gonna shoot rabbits for me.
Well, I'm just saying he'd be a little bit stringy.
He'd be a little bit stringy. The girl? She's a good distraction. Wow.
No, you're talking about your daughter's the one I want hand and holding the .22 because she.
That's a good point.
Your son's a good boy. He may be big and strong, but I don't know if he'd kill a bitch. Your daughter's just looking for an excuse. She's the power goes out. She goes, Daddy, can I start killing people now? No, not yet.
Not yet, sweetie. But I applaud your spirit. Oh, come on.
Just wait for the zombie apocalypse.
You kidding? She's got the colander on her face already. Yeah!
Well, Dad gets the chance. Dreams about murder. Pretty pink princess murder.
That's right. I'm going to have to get an AR with pink stock. No, I'm sorry. It's my daughter, purple. With unicorns.
Unicorns. That's what my generator runs on.
You know, I have a question. I have a question. Well, this talk about, you know, you're losing your 911 service. And that's in the sort of emergency that you had, what would people call 911 for necessarily?
Clean up.
Looters.
Clean up.
A tree has just crushed my house and my children's bedroom. I can't get to it, which is an actual story that was on the news.
I imagine.
Yeah, a lot of house fires happened after the line came down.
You know, just to paint a picture of what sort of things happened, you know.
Yeah, when all the power lines are getting destroyed, you have live wires falling down into the streets and into people's homes. A lot of fires started, you know, and then houses get crushed and gas lines are exposed. Plus all of the things, because the temperatures were so high. It was like 106 degrees. And all of these, you know, elderly people and children would be in distress, and they needed an ambulance because all the services were down. I mean, there wasn't any bus service, you know. You can't call a cab and can't take the metro. And a lot of people in the region don't have cars. And they're trapped. as well as didn't know what's going on either. Every medical emergency that happens, my wife actually used to be a 911 dispatcher. And on a quiet day, they're busy all the time.
Right.
Sure.
And on an emergency day, you know, the call triaging you have to do.
Well, that just goes back to
immense.
Yeah, that goes back to what I was saying before, is our infrastructures aren't robust enough to be able to stand up to the requirements of a disaster like that.
Right. And I was also reading an article about 80% of the firefighters in our region are volunteer.
Oh, yeah.
And when so many of them are having issues with their own home,
they're not going to come out and help yours.
You know, that is much more problematic, especially when they're relying on communications. A lot of it now is IP-based, which all failed. It's really very interesting.
That's where I'm all set. I got like 3 firefighters on my street.
Yeah, and when something bad happens in the region that was bad enough that they probably needed to go in, but it was also bad enough that their own families are at risk, what's going to happen?
They stay home, and they're on my street. So, again, my house goes up, their houses are at risk, too.
You'll make sure of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a nice house you have here. It'd be a shame. What's that?
Yeah.
What?
Just be cut out.
Well, quickly. I really think that everybody kind of functions on the feeling that, oh, it can't happen here.
Or if it does, you know, somebody will come fix it.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody else will come fix it, and they kind of put it off until tomorrow.
FEMA
and
will come
that's
give me
I think it's a very human reaction. Like, you know, you see in any kind of disaster or like mass shootings, people are always like, oh, this is such a happy, quiet little town. Nothing ever bad ever happens here. And people people don't like to think about bad things happening. I think that's
right, because, you know, American Idol's going to be on in a few minutes.
It's just more comfortable not to think about ugly, horrible things happening to you.
Another thing to factor in is just the whole, you know, litigious society, contract-based society that we got here is we pay a shitload in property taxes.
Yep.
So it's just one of those things of just you're airing your grievances at that point. You're just saying, well, why the fuck is my power out? I pay for my power. I pay my property taxes. I pay all this goddamn money for shit that doesn't work. Why doesn't it work?
Well, my broken shit work.
Right.
You know, of course, we all know that ain't going to do shit once the power's back on, because they're just going to pass the buck away. But while the power's out, it does even less.
Well, you got to, you know, it's... I think we're kind of in a middle point. You know, it's... We're kind of halfway between, you know, the agrarian, you know, you can be completely self-sufficient era and the, you know, super fantastic, redundant, computerized, you know, future that isn't quite here yet.
Well, I have a plan for when the power goes out.
Eat the cats.
No. I have like a two-part plan. First, loot Walmart. And then, shoot anybody who gets in my way. Loot Walmart, shoot anybody who gets in my way. And then go to Amish country, because they know what they're doing without power.
And they don't have weapons.
And they believe in nonviolence. That's true. That's right. And they're nonviolent. And, you know, they're very...
You start kicking them.
Yeah. So, that's my
plan. Ow.
You could be... Queen.
You're probably not the only one with that idea, though.
Well, they better get there first. That's
just so
all
you know, if Amish aren't available, there's always Mormons.
No.
Yeah, a lot of Mormons have guns.
And then Mennonites.
Yeah, but then there's the Mormons. The Mormons also have the whole doomsday prepper thing going on.
They do.
Too.
But they have
guns.
And they're relying on their magic underwear to keep them safe.
And they have guns.
And the guns. I didn't say it was a nice plan.
It's probably better than nothing.
You know, well,
Well, first,
I need to go to Home Depot and I need to price out some Mennonites.
Has anybody else read the book One Second After?
Yes.
I read that book. That's an awesome book.
Yep.
That's a scary book. I read that book.
The fiction.
You got to tell everybody what you're talking about now.
Yeah. One Second After basically depicts a small town in North Carolina after a massive EMP pulse that takes out basically the entire eastern seaboard.
And now you got to explain what EMP is.
The electromagnetic pulse knocks out all electronics.
And by all electronics, you mean
everything. Cars don't run because it fries the electronics in the cars.
Right, anything with a microchip.
Right.
Right, exactly.
The power is gone.
Or just anything with closed circuitry anyway.
You've got an old car with points and condensers, it'll probably still run.
Yeah, some of the general points in that book are really, really important.
Insulin.
He had a daughter that needed insulin.
Right.
Suddenly the supply is gone. Suddenly there was no way to keep the insulin cool.
Well, not only that, but they brought up the point of there's no depth to the supply of anything.
Right.
Right.
It's all on-demand delivery of materials,
just
including
in time.
Food.
Right.
And this is a little small town in the country, and they even described how quickly the surrounding region got hunted out.
Well, the small towns would be better off than cities, because cities with lack of services are death traps.
Well, small towns that are far away from cities.
Right.
That's other case.
Suburb towns are toast, because the rats will flee the city.
Once 3 to 5 days tops, if you have no power whatsoever,
right,
no communications, you have no idea what's going on, and all of a sudden the food's gone, they're gone. They're leaving that city and they're spreading out. And anything within 100 miles is toast. Because
how far can people walk in 5 days?
What's that?
Before they die.
Yeah, exactly.
If you have 5 days without food, walking, you know, classic refugees.
Right.
Exactly.
The ones that can walk farther than that, you know, they've walked that far because they were unscrupulous.
They're the meanest and the least scrupulous, most violent.
Or the most prepared.
That was a really great book in that it was a good read, as well as the concepts within the book were quite eye-opening and useful.
Hey, there's a reason I'm hanging on to my Harley.
I'm sorry, what? Say?
I said there's a reason I'm hanging on to my Harley.
Oh, yeah. Well, even Harleys now, it's my understanding, have a lot of electronics in them.
Yeah.
And electronic starters.
Mine's on the edge. It's still a carbureted model, so there's no fuel infection, but there's probably enough electronics that it'd be iffy.
Does it have a kickstart?
Does it have a fusible link?
No, it does not have a kickstart.
I bet it has a fusible link in it somewhere.
Probably.
You'll need replacement fuses that are protected.
Shielded.
Because you're going to have to replace all of them.
True.
This week under disaster preparedness.
Right. Buy a can of ether to start it.
Actually, you know, as many gun blogs as there are, there's just as many prepper and survivalist blogs.
If not more.
Survival blog, yeah.
Yeah.
And guess what? They have their mall ninjas, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
More prepared than now. Oh, yeah.
It's and I imagine there's a lot of crossover between serious shooters and survivalist types.
I kind of wonder about the survivalist people because, I can understand putting, enough food away for a couple of weeks of something going wrong. But there's people that are planning to, survive for years. And I'm sorry, if something like that happens, you're society's going to change, You're going to have to, move. You're going to have to go accomplish something and do things, It's not...
There's an event that has so fundamentally changed your life and the lives of everybody around you for years.
Right.
Do you want to be living?
Well, probably not.
I do. That's easy answer for me.
Being a child of the Cold War.
Yeah.
The whole concept of a fallout shelter.
Yeah.
Are you for real? It's a 20 by 40 metal tube.
Right, that you're going to live in for 3 years or whatever,
So I'm going to go sit in basically underground in a fucking Airstream and eat canned beans for the next 5 years?
Yeah.
I will go out and I will fry my fucking brain and drink whiskey until the radiation gets me. Thank you very much.
After about 3 months of that, you're going to go so fucking insane from being staring at your wife and kids that you're going to want to crack that hatch just to look at something.
In their defense, the actual fallout shelters were for sheltering from fallout, which is pretty short.
Right, just a matter of a couple weeks.
Right.
Yeah. True.
But the thing is that when something big ends up happening, we don't know what it's going to be. It could be a pandemic.
You can't plan for it.
It could be a meteor impact. It could be,
The point is
the aliens from Independence Day.
The point is, economists have this concept called elasticity, which in the short run, it's like your ability to change what you do. So in the short term, a lot of people are not very elastic. You're driving your truck to work every day and the price of gas triples or something, you can't afford to go out and buy a more fuel efficient car necessarily. But the next time you're shopping for a car, you'll get one that's more fuel efficient. That's the concept of elasticity. And, some things are very elastic. Like if, the price of, popsicles goes up or something, you just stop eating them because, they're not that big a deal. In survival, it's kind of a very similar thing. If the power goes out for, a couple of weeks, then, I'll call it your survival elasticity is not that great because it's very difficult to move and change and, pack up your shit and move somewhere else and all that kind of stuff. But if where you are is going to be a disaster for longer than that, then you're going to pack up and leave. Even if you have to walk out, you're going to go somewhere else. I mean, that's just what people do. That's why throughout history, you've had populations of refugees that move all over the world from where things are shitty to where things are good. It's not new. It always happens. So, I think having preparedness for more than, a short time is probably a waste of money. That's just, because otherwise you're going to pack up and go somewhere else.
Yeah. Anything more than 6 months is it's just showing off.
Right. Yeah, you're it's like fantasy camp or something.
Yeah, and again, if you're rotating through it regular and you're not, you don't have 3 years worth of MRE stacked in your basement, But you buy an extra couple of bags of rice every time you go,
right?
And you keep rotating it. There's no harm. There's no harm, no foul, and you're well ahead of the curve if you lose your job or something bad happens.
Right. And actually when you're planning for disasters, you need to look at the far more likely disasters, an end of the world event is extremely unlikely, losing your job, pretty fucking likely.
Yeah. Yeah. So getting snowed in for a couple of days, that's a hell of a lot more likely than, the Chi Coms launch an EMP that wipes out the whole Eastern Seaboard.
Exactly.
And
now the Chi Coms getting snowed in.
Yeah. We wouldn't be able to buy lead-laden crappy toys at Walmart anymore. The horror.
Yeah.
Knock-off aim points.
Knock-off aim points. Yeah, knock-off Magpul backup sites. $70, are you insane? I won't pay more than 15. Hey, it says Play School on it.
All right, well, thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Have a good night, folks. Right.
See ya.
Yep, great call.
See you next week.
Thanks.
That was funny. Oh, well.
That was a good show.
Yeah.
We're at the very end, tail end of the last hour.
Yeah, we don't
hour.
Have much time left. If you want to call in, I think somebody else tried to call in while we were on that call, and I couldn't take it, but if you want to try calling back in again.
Yeah, we got 15 minutes.
Here's
talk
one.
About our president being a girl.
Yeah, hang on. We got a call. This is area code 971. Hello.
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 How are you all?
Who is this?
This is MDev.
MDev.
Oh, okay. MDev. So we will be MDev.
You, who has a birthday coming up?
I do. And, you know, if you want to make a donation to the, I was supposed to be able to buy a shotgun for my birthday fund, I can give you an address. Nice.
What shotgun do you want to buy?
I'm buying an 870 with a 3.5-inch chamber.
Oh.
Yeah, he hates his shoulder and he wants to destroy it.
Well, that and, you know, I have dreams of finding load data for a 3.5-inch trap load.
Good Lord. That's just insane.
I think you should get a 3.5-inch mag. Get a 3.5-inch plus P slug.
Actually, 3.5-inch trap load, that'd be pretty good.
It's funny because I get goofy looks for, shooting trap with anything other than, an old-school wooden Ithaca over-under or something. So I'm sure when somebody starts picking up shells and they go, what the hell are these long ones? I'm going to really get that look.
No one even looks at me cross-eyed with my shotgun with a bayonet lug on it.
Yeah, it depends on the range. Some ranges, if you're not sporting a Purdy or something, they're like, get the fuck out.
The range
I shoot trap and sporting clays at now is pretty diverse. And we've got a fair, because we're so close to a couple of military bases, we've got a fair number of guys that are just used to having, tactical Benellis or whatever. So we see a lot of those show up.
Anybody show up with one of those Kel-Tecs yet?
They don't exist in the wild.
No.
Only
Oleg has one.
Yeah, because Kel-Tec sent them all out for T&E, and that's the only ones that exist.
I have offered a small reward for the first person to show up and successfully shoot sporting clays with a Saiga.
That'd be doable.
You could. You have to remember to change the setting, though. Otherwise, it goes bang, clunk. Been there, done that. Forgot to swap it.
And you got to remember to take advantage of the sight offset. that rim's about a quarter inch above the bore.
I missed the beginning of the show. Overall, how worried are we about this UN thing? It's got no chance of passing.
Right? Well, okay. Here's the thing. Okay.
Go live with the Amish.
Here's the thing. Somebody mentioned Kyoto before, which was signed by the president but thoroughly rejected by the Senate. And yet, we're still suffering from a lot of the Kyoto bullshit because the EPA and through executive orders and bureaucratic bullshit has managed to implement a lot of that stuff. Anyway, so the danger of the small arms treaty is not that the Senate will ratify it, because they won't. They just it takes 2/3 of the Senate, and it's not going to happen. The danger is that from the time that Obama signs it until the time the Senate goes, oh, hell no, they're going to start rolling on this stuff, and the bureaucracy is going to start doing things, and the ATF is going to start doing things, and, you know, once a bureaucracy starts doing something, it's damn difficult to get them to stop. And that's the danger of the small arms treaty.
Okay.
And that as Jason just pointed out in chat, even though Clinton was the one who signed Kyoto, Bush didn't rescind any of the executive orders that Clinton put in place to support it.
Have we ever had an executive order rescinded?
Nope. Not that I know of. They just keep recycling.
Certainly not a Democratic executive order by a Republican president.
Right. And apparently vice versa. I mean, look at all those horrible Bush things that Obama either kept doing or did more.
Yeah.
You know, the ratchet does not reverse. It only goes one way. And that's the danger of the small arms treaty.
Okay.
But to be fair, Mitt Romney gets elected president. He's going to reverse Ford's pardon of Nixon.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about that one. I go, well, we could probably reverse that one safely.
Honestly, I would not be shocked or surprised whatsoever if, you know, come the new election, say Romney gets president and we get a comfortably Republican Senate, and they actually managed to repeal Obamacare, I wouldn't be surprised if Romney vetoed it.
Because he wrote the damn law.
Because it's right. The same damn thing he did in Massachusetts. I wouldn't be surprised. He might decide to get all bipartisan and...
Well, you know, the only thing is, if he vetoes that, he can't run for re-election.
Sure he can.
Well, okay, he can run, but...
As a Democrat.
Yeah, he'll be running against Joe Biden. It'll be easy. And Joe Biden run because he's the smartest man in the room.
Oh, boy. I know it'll never happen, but I would love to see Condoleezza Rice as Romney's VP just to see that debate. Because
oh,
it
my
would be,
God.
Well,
Oh, my God. That would be like a political dream for me.
It would be like Gary Fisher playing chess against a fetus.
Oh, my God. I would pop popcorn. I'd have a party. That'd be the best
debate ever.
I wouldn't have a party because I wouldn't want company around me when I'm watching it.
Yeah, that's true. You just want Kleenex.
Here's the thing. I know that somewhere in their heads they're like, hey, they have a black guy. We're going to run a black woman.
Yeah.
It's not going to work. The,
like, you know, one up.
I'm sorry. It's not going to work anymore.
It won't work.
I thought that was the whole attraction to Bobby Jindal. Whatever happened to him?
Because he was slightly brown?
He's an Indian.
He went fundy crazy.
Yeah.
He kind of started laying the Jesus on awful thick, and people kind of...
Yeah.
Please turn off the oven, I got a peanut.
Oh, sorry.
He is Punjabi, though. That's the warrior cast.
I will tell everyone you are untouchable. Oh yeah, I'm going to hell.
I saw today a late model Mercedes with a license plate that said Punjabi. And I'm like, yeah. I said, yeah, it is beta. Yeah, it is beta.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Boy, we have really gone off the rails, haven't we?
We went full nerd.
Before I let you guys go, did you already offer birthday wishes to the other gun blogger with a birthday today?
Who?
I know who he talks. I know who he means.
I don't.
Yeah, I only found out because I saw it on your Facebook, Jay.
Who was it?
The Little Giant.
Oh.
Oh.
That one.
Why do you all hate me so much?
Oh, really? Did you just say that?
Yes.
She's a breeder. She can get away with saying whatever she needs.
Pot kettle.
Breeda, I love you, so I'm not going to sing.
Thank you. Oh, God.
But I can make him a present.
Yeah.
I'll bake him a cake.
Yeah. Send him a present you made special for him.
That's right.
I had goat vindaloo. Here's your present.
I made it myself. It's been all
anyway,
day.
Thanks for calling in, MDiv.
Yeah, and, thanks, MDiv.
Oh, not a problem. I will let you guys go. I really didn't have anything to talk about tonight because I called in so late, but I was like, well, I can't ruin, you know, I can't miss anymore. I just got to call and say hello.
You can't wreck your winning streak.
Yeah.
That's right.
You called in every single show.
Dang near.
I'm sorry. What did you say, Brita?
Have you called in every single show?
No, I think there's two that I've missed, but one of those was when the call-in didn't work.
Oh, well, we'll let you call in twice next week. To make up for it.
Oh, you have to be naked.
You have to call in. Alan will hang up on you and then call back. And then we're even.
Yeah.
I think all right. Well, only if there's a good topic that I actually know something about.
Oh, okay.
Well, give us a list.
The topic has to be either Smith & Wesson M&Ps or Remington 870s.
We were talking about Smith & Wesson M&Ps earlier in the
you
show.
You missed it. Oh, well. Yeah.
We'll just have to listen in later.
Snooze, you lose.
What about Michelle Obama having man shoulders?
Oh, well, you know, she's such a hottie. Why wouldn't she? Michelle Obama's a hottie, and you know it, Jay.
Yeah. Even I'm
weird
not that
close, but... that. You all sound the same. Because the audio is really shitty tonight.
Hey.
Maybe
I was afraid we weren't going to have a school report when I saw that the power was out.
Yes, the power was out this morning.
Do you have an emergency preparedness plan for the school report? Are there generators?
Yes, if the power is out, we won't do it. That's the emergency plan.
Yeah. If the power's out, Brita's shooting me homage.
The 12 people that listen will not be upset if we're not on one night.
Goes out, Brita will be now. Brita's just shooting the Amish.
My plan is to revive.
Good night, guys.
See ya.
Good night. Bye. We're done, I think.
Yeah, we're done.
Good show, guys.
When in doubt, shoot the Amish. Just
I stayed
it.
Awake for the whole thing.
Yes, you did. Amazing.
Yay!
I did. Well,
cool.
We're done. Good night, everybody.
Yeah, good night, y'all. Thanks for
to dig a hole.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night.